Well, good morning. We all know what today is, right? All right, Easter, Resurrection Sunday, right? Praise the Lord. He is risen. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about if Christ has not risen, our faith is empty. Without the resurrection of Jesus, it was just all show. It was just all words. But the resurrection of Jesus put more than the frosting on the cake. It put more than the cherry on the ice cream. It was the completion of everything that Christ stood for and he walked in. Today I wanted to talk a little bit about Jesus and some of his titles and some of his roles, because what we see is that he has multiple roles in everything he's done. And we've been talking the last couple of weeks about Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2, but the specific part I wanted to first start off with today is it says that Jesus is both the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author and the finisher. So there it is. It's two different roles. He not only is the author of everything that's been going on in the earth, but he's also there to finish it. So I was thinking of it with my kids are always in acting and plays. I was thinking of it like a three-act play, you know, the Old Testament is like the first act, and it was the preparation for what God was going to do. And then in the second act, Jesus comes and he does everything he's done, and we're going to talk about some of that today. And he laid the foundation when he came of everything to do with our faith. And now we're in Act 3 when he's building the building. He's building the church. He is the builder. And he's coming to build the church. And I kind of envision the last scene of this play is Jesus is like the home makeovers where they cover it with a big tarp. And then the owner is standing out there waiting for the big reveal. And they take it off and they see their new house and they go, oh. But in this case, it's the architect, the builder, and the owner is standing there to behold what he has built, what he has architect, what he has done. And we are that building of what God is constructing. We see this dual role a lot. You know, we talk about Jesus as one being the good shepherd, and it also says that he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So he's both the shepherd and the sheep. The sheep, I got a singular there, right? And that was our sacrifice for us. In Colossians 1:15, it talks about he was the firstborn over all creation, and by him all things were created. So he's not only the firstborn, but he's also creating everything. And it says that everything was created through him and for him. Hallelujah. We see in I love the picture of Christ being both the builder and he's the architect and the builder. He's the chief cornerstone and the builder. That's what I wanted to say. Is he's both the foundation. He's the foundation of everything he's building, and then he's the builder. We're going to look at that a little bit in a minute. In Hebrews chapter 1, It starts off and it says that in chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "Today you are my son." It says, "You are my son today. I have begotten you." I love the expression of this because, you know, he is the firstborn of all creation, and yet he's begotten by God. So it says that he wasn't born by God. He was begotten by God, and it has a different sense to that. And it says it in a way that it's now, you know, today. And today means presently, right? So it's not like he was born years ago, but he's today begotten by God. And then in Hebrews chapter 2, it quotes from 2 Samuel 7, verse 14. It says, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be a son." So here we are, that we see that there's like roles set up where God the Father, we talk about God the Father, and yet we talk about Jesus as the Son of God, the only begotten Son, which is different than just being born a natural birth. But I wanted to look at Hebrews chapter 3 for a minute. If you look at Hebrews chapter 3, it talks about, let's consider the apostle and the high priest of our confession or of our faith. And so he says that he's both the apostle and the high priest. Well, what does it mean to be the apostle? Well, the apostle is the architect. He's the builder. He is one who's sent on a mission to accomplish something. And that's who Jesus is. And it says that it was Jesus Christ who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses was also faithful in his house. But this one is counted more worthy than Moses, because the one who is the builder of the house has more honor than the house. Okay. So what we see is that Jesus is the builder of what he's doing in the earth. And it's a beautiful thing that he's building. It's a spiritual house. It tells us that later. And in another words, which John mentioned today, he says that he is the head of the body. That's in Colossians 1:15. He is the head of the body, who is the beginning. And it leaves out the thing there. We could read this as, who is the beginning of the body, right? Because it's talking about the body. So he's the head of the body, and he's the beginning of the body. And then it tells us that he's the firstborn from the dead, and the firstborn over all creation. You know, we know that in the Bible, Lazarus was raised from the dead. But he's not the firstborn from the dead, because Lazarus was born back into this fleshly body again, yeah. Right? His spirit just came back to his present body. And so he unfortunately had to go and suffer maybe some more and then die, right? A second time, right? Because he didn't really have the resurrection, because Jesus is the first one who was resurrected into a new body, into a body that we know he walked through walls, or he just appeared in the presence of a locked room, right? He had the resemblance of his body in that, you know, when he asked Thomas to say, you know, put your hands
in my wounds. You know, he didn't do it because he said, oh, Lord, Lord, you are the Christ, right? So indeed, Jesus is the firstborn of all creation from the dead. And we praise him for that. But Jesus is also the high priest. So it's like, you know, the apostle is the author, right? And now the finisher is Jesus, and now he's finishing it as the high priest. Well, how did he do that? Well, let's look at chapter 8 in Hebrews. And it talks about that every high priest, in verse 3, it says, every high priest is appointed to offer both a gift and a sacrifice. Therefore, it is necessary for the one also having something to offer. And so what we see is that Jesus did bring a gift, and he did bring a sacrifice. And guess what that was?
His life.
Himself.
Yeah.
He is the gift.
Amen.
And he is the sacrifice. And he died on the cross. The scholars have looked into this and considered this, and there's a couple different theories of when this happened. And some people think it was on the 33 AD, and other people on the 30th of AD. But within this 4 or 5 year period, we have an actual date of when Jesus died on the cross and when he rose from the dead. So it's not a story, or it's not a fable that doesn't have any historical understanding of it, right? There's an actual date when most people believe, which is 33 AD, is when they think it happened, because on that Friday, a lot of people believe it's that Friday, on the 3rd of April, was because there was a lunar eclipse that day, and maybe they surmised that was why the earth darkened during that day. But there are other ways to look at it, and that's why some other people think it's maybe in 30 AD. But either way, the point is that there's actually a date. There's actually historical reference to everything that we believe.
It's interesting.
And then without the resurrection, that we have no faith. But with that, John, in either 4 or 7 years, it'll be 2,000 years since this event happened, when Jesus rose from the dead. So it's almost 2,000 years, but not quite yet. Okay. So anyway, let's look a little bit at this. It says later in that same chapter, it says, he's the mediator of a better covenant, which establishes better promises. And some of those better promises, Peter went through that last week, and talking about our inheritance that we have in Christ is those better promises that come from Jesus being our mediator. What a wonderful thing that Jesus is both the author and the finisher of our faith. I want to read for us in chapter 9, starting at verse 11, a little bit here. It says, but Christ came as the high priest for the good things to come that are greater and for a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is, it's not of this creation. So there's a new tabernacle that he established, because he is the new high priest under the order of Melchizedek. Not with the blood of black goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered into the most holy of holies once and for all. See, this death, that shedding of blood is with Jesus, is once and for all. It doesn't have to be done again. Having obtained a eternal redemption, and that's what we have, is a eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and of an ash of a heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctified for the purification of the flesh, then how much more shall the blood of Jesus, through which the eternal Spirit offers himself without spot or blemish to God, cleansing our conscience from
dead works
and to serve the living God. What is he referring to here? Cleansing our conscience from dead works. Well, part of what he's talking about is that everyone who died before this, his dead works is going to be cleansed through the blood of Jesus if they believed in God.
And receive him.
And that's what it says, that for he is the mediator of a new covenant by means of death for the redemption and the
transgressions
under the first covenant. That's what we just talked about. For those who are called may receive the promise of this eternal inheritance. So Christ's death on the cross and the resurrection from the dead did not only provide our salvation, but all who believed in God before he came. The way this works is a little bit like a last will and testament, right? I mean, that's what he starts to talk about in verse 16, is that if you have a last will and testament, it doesn't come to be fully worked out until the person dies, right? So a covenant or a testimony cannot be completed until the death of the people that it's about. So that's why there was a shedding of blood in the Old Testament for the remissions of sin, that they would go to the priest and then to the high priest, who went in once a year and sacrificed the blood. And that was for the new covenant, which was a shadow or a copy of what was to come. And now what is to come is that Jesus, who set up now a new covenant, and then he died in activating the new covenant in our lives. And then when he rose from the dead, he then completes everything that he's done for us as our high priest. So now Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us and praying for us and watching over how we're doing. And then he said he would not leave us alone, so he sent his Holy Spirit to come and indwell us. And Peter mentioned this last week, that that is a deposit of a seal of our inheritance, is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a seal for what is coming, but what is coming is a complete immersion or a complete work of the Holy Spirit in our life. So our little piece of our inheritance is the Holy Spirit, but the completeness of our inheritance is the Holy Spirit. So it's like we have received, even though we have a seal in this fleshly body. Our seal is so that it guarantees that we will be also resurrected. So back to 1 Corinthians 15, where it said that Christ, if he did not raise from the dead, our faith is empty. But then in 55 it says, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law.
Our sin is the law, yeah.
We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See what Jesus has done for us in becoming the only sacrifice that was given to really save us from our sins. And because he's done that, he has written his law on our heart through his Holy Spirit. And so the strength of sin is the law. It's the condemnation that comes through the law that you have done this wrong and you have not followed through with what you said. But the strength of the law, which is sin, and sin has been covered by the blood of Jesus. So we stand in victory today, that we are in eternity today. Isn't that what it's saying to us? So we're struggling maybe this day with our old bodies, struggling with different sicknesses that are all around us, and yet we're already living in eternity. And we know that because the seal of the Holy Spirit is upon us. So that is our inheritance for a completeness when this body of the flesh is fully dead. And we rise with Christ. With a twinkling of an eye, it says, we'll rise with Christ. First, those who have died before us, and then we who are still alive on the earth. That's what the Bible tells us. And it's all tied up in what Christ has done for us, and that he rose from the dead, showing us the power over death. Yes. So Satan has no power. He has no sting of death. We stand victorious today. So let's walk that way. Let's continue to do everything that he's called us to do and complete the race that he's called us. Each of us in the Lord, we have our own race to run. He's called us apostolically to come and do a work for him. It says that he covered our conscience of our dead works, and now has given us good works to do in the Lord. So that our works, our good works, animates our faith, so that our faith is alive and is showing for those all around us. So let's continue with this journey, because the journey, we already know the end. The end, we don't know how it will happen, that this body will stop breathing, but that doesn't matter. That's not the end. That's just another beginning for us. and that now we join Christ, who was the firstborn from the dead. We join him in eternity, and then we will see then what he has been building on the earth, what the church is really about. It's not about buildings, it's not about organizations, it's not about religion, but it's about a beautiful spiritual temple of the Holy Spirit. We are individually temples of the Holy Spirit, and he is building us into a corporate body. Corporate body that's going to be absolutely beautiful. I'm going to enjoy the day of both watching and being a part of what he unveils in the last scene of showing the house to the architect, to the builder, and to the owner of this building. So thank you, Lord, that you are a good God. You are the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
You are the author and the finisher of my faith. Can we say that together? Jesus, you are the author and the finisher of my faith. Jesus, you are the author and the finisher of my faith. One more time. Jesus, you are the author and the finisher of my faith.
Holy, amen.